Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court is divided on a Catholic charter school case. We're going to be talking about this development on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, this is quite an unusual case where the court released an unsigned opinion consisting of only one sentence, which stated, "The judgment is affirmed by an equally divided court." Have you ever seen that in your legal career?
Yeah, it's very rare. It's only in a case where you have an equal number of justices on a particular case, and that's what you had here, 8 instead of 9.
And that's happened because Justice Amy Coney Barrett recused herself.
Yeah, and we don't know exactly why she recused herself. There's some speculation that the reason she recused herself is because she has a relationship with one of the actors or one of the entities that is on this case. So Barrett didn't state why she didn't participate in the case. Whenever you recuse yourself, typically you don't state that. But mm-hmm. The charter school was represented at the Supreme Court by the Religious Liberty Clinic at Notre Dame's Law School, where Barrett taught for 15 years before becoming a federal judge and then later a justice. And Nicole Steele Garnett, who is a law professor at Notre Dame and a leading advocate for allowing the use of public funds at religious schools, is a close friend of Barrett's. Barrett is also the godmother to mm-hmm. one of Garnett's children. So because of that relationship, she decided to recuse herself, which is unfortunate, which yeah. now means that the court doesn't have an odd number of justices. And so they came down as a 4-4 split, meaning that they have no majority opinion. And what that means is when you have a 4-4 split or an equal split of the votes, the lower court's opinion, whatever that was, pro or con, for or against, stands. And that's what happened in this case because the Oklahoma Supreme Court below had ruled against allowing the state to have this public funds going to the Catholic public charter school.
Yeah, and the public charter school is operated by a Catholic order, so this case does not affect or apply to school choice programs where vouchers go directly to parents who select the school of their choice, which can include religious schools. You know, this is quite unfortunate, but I don't think we should give up hope. I think there will be another case coming down the pike soon.
Yeah, I think to begin with, let's just put this case in context. This is not a school choice case where you have parents having school choice via vouchers, and they get a voucher to be able to take that voucher to the school of their choice, public, private, Christian, and so forth. It's not involving that. This is a very unique kind of case, and it's the first one to ever make it to the Supreme Court, and it's the first one in Oklahoma involving a charter school, a public charter school that is operated by a Catholic order or is operated by a faith-based entity.
Right.
So typically, these charter schools are a combination of public and private. And we are very familiar with generally the charter school systems. Some charter schools develop because they are created by certain private interest and they have certain emphasis. Maybe it might be on engineering or whatever it might be, could be on languages, whatever it might be. Charter schools are common, but they also are significantly regulated by state law. So they're not just totally private. They have a public component to it. And so that created a unique issue here with regards to the funding. So here you have a public-private type of school, public because it's a charter school, private because it's sponsored and would be administered by a Catholic order. And now the question is, can that school get state funds for education like other non-religious charter schools or public schools? So it's a very unique case, and that's what was unique here. And some of the questions by the justices actually went to that issue. Does this make it different? Does this mean that you can have a very sectarian type of charter school that gets public funds? And obviously, we knew where three of the justices were going on this issue, but it looked like there was a fifth justice in the vote for the public charter school funding. But obviously, at the end of the day, one of those justices, we don't know which one, one of those justices actually voted in the opposite.
Listening to the oral argument, you thought, okay, this is a win for us. And then so we kind of got surprised with this result. But, you know, we filed amicus brief on behalf of this case, on behalf of Covenant Journey Academy. And we stated in the brief that SCOTUS has long recognized that parents bear the primary responsibility for directing their children's education. This is a fundamental right that must necessarily include the ability to choose a virtual school that accords with their values and meets their children's needs. So I don't see how they can say, okay, just because it's a religious school, we cannot give you federal funds to support that. I don't see how that is part of the First Amendment and religious freedom.
Well, and I assume that if Barrett had been on the bench, it would have been a 5-4 decision. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be at least a 5-3 decision after the oral argument. It looked like all the justices, five of them, the majority, would actually rule in favor of the school. We knew that Kagan and Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown were going the other way. So that was the three. But one of those other people that would have otherwise been in the five, we know it wouldn't have been probably Thomas or Alito. So the only ones you've got left are Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and the Chief Justice. One of those three voted against it. And, you know, it's a tough case because it's a very first of its kind with regards to the charter school. And the question that you have to address, and I think this is what maybe one of those justices that might have switched their vote, if in fact they did switch their vote following oral argument, might have been thinking, where does this lead to it? If you're going to be funding this particular Catholic charter school, and you may agree with what it's doing, but it's a public school as well as a private. It's not just private. Where does this ultimately lead to down the road? Would you do the same thing for a Muslim school that's a charter school that teaches Islam as part of their public-private partnership? And again, charter schools are in a different scenario than, say, homeschools or private-operated Christian schools, where parents in states that allow it allow parents to select via a voucher system of some sort the school of their choice. The difference is that those are totally operated on a private level. They are not public schools. They're not controlled by the public engine of the state. And the state doesn't have the control over the curriculum and what's being taught, whereas in a charter school, it's much more regulated by the state.
Right. And, you know, in reference to the voucher program we were talking about earlier, the school choice program, it was the Supreme Court that ruled in favor of Maine parents so that Maine parents could send their children to a religious school and get the vouchers, which were available to all other students in public schools. So that was the high court that ruled in the favor for that.
That wasn't very long ago. Yeah. And that Supreme Court decision out of Maine actually said this is not a novel issue for this court, that they had actually ruled in several previous precedents that really set the background for this. And that is, in Maine, for example, they allowed parents, particularly in the rural areas where they didn't have the public schools available, to be able to use a voucher system to select a school of their choice. And it could be any school. But what Maine did is they excluded from those selection options any Christian school.
And that decision was so important because, as you mentioned, it's a rural area, so you don't just hop in the car and drive 10 minutes to school. It could be a really good jaunt to get to the school of your choice.
That's right. And so the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the parents and against the state because the state was discriminating against Christian viewpoints, religious viewpoints. that was struck down as unconstitutional under the First Amendment. So we do have some really good precedent out there for school choice. And frankly, that is the wave of the future. Texas just passed a school choice voucher program. There's many, many states. Arkansas has done the same thing. Florida is one of the national leaders. There's many, many states that are leading in school choice. I think we are witnessing the deterioration, the breaking of the back of the public government system monopoly. And that's a good thing. That's why we filed the brief on behalf of Covenant Journey Academy. It's a K-12 online school. For more information about that school, you can go to cj.academy. That's cj.academy.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.